Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up, a chance for you to rip us off for White Sox tickets. We got a four-pack coming your way to go see the Sox take on the Twins on Friday, June 28th. There has been a schedule change. We have moved the game from Friday the 18th to Friday the 28th.
We did?
Yes.
We did that?
Actually, we just changed the copy. We just changed the script. All right. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend. There was great controversy. Lori Lightfoot, the newly installed mayor of the city of Chicago, was on a community access television program and said that she had heard a rumor that the Chicago Police Union, the Fraternal Order of Police, had told the men and women of the police department to stay in their cars, to not do their job, to not get out of the cars and involve themselves in criminal activity that was happening in front of them on Memorial Day weekend. And she said, now she doesn't know if that's absolutely true, but she heard it from another people. And if it is true, there's going to be hell to pay. I am paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she says. Kevin Graham is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police. We want to get his thoughts on this. And what do you make of what she said, Kevin?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. It is irresponsible to spread rumors. Certainly, she has my cell phone number. She can get a hold of me 24 hours a day. She can pick up the phone and find out what occurred. Just so you and the rest of your listeners know, we did not tell anyone not to do their job. That it is an insult to the hard-working men and women of the Chicago Police Department who put their lives on the line every day. Nobody told them that. That is just that, a rumor, and we can't be spreading that.
Mm-hmm. Was there any dictate from you of any sort that could be misinterpreted?
No.
That's fair.
I can make it
right. I need to. I also need to just go down the road that you know how these things can evolve. People can take out of any sort of.
But I don't think this evolved. I think what she's saying, and we have to go back to the source. She's saying she heard it from several law enforcement sources who directly told her and confirmed for her that those who were assigned to Memorial Day weekend, who weren't scheduled initially to work, those 1,200 extra officers, that you can answer radio calls, you can do the basic job, but don't do anything extra. That's what these law enforcement sources communicated to her. Do you believe that
did not come from me? That did not come from me. Look, I can't tell you that every law enforcement officer in this country, what they do and say. I don't know. But I can tell you what comes out of my mouth and what comes out of this office. And we have always put the welfare of the people of the city of Chicago first. Look, we've been working without a contract for 2 years. We need a contract. We'd like to get it done yesterday. And certainly the mayor has the ability to get that done. Having said that, we have continued to do an outstanding job. Our members went out and this weekend got over 100 guns off the street. Several of our members were hurt, responding to calls, responding to people with guns, responding to a variety of calls, and they've been injured, handling mentally ill people. Those are all items that police officers put themselves in jeopardy trying to protect the people of this city.
Kevin, I'm going to let you respond to more of this, but this is Lori Lightfoot from this morning responding to this controversy.
We have to have every single officer on deck focused on mission, which is to keep our neighborhood safe. So I was concerned about it. The source that came to me was credible, but I caveated it because it was simply a rumor. I think the headline in the Sun-Times, frankly, is incredibly misleading.
Okay. So there's a little bit of I don't know if it's a back off or just a clarification there, but what she's saying is that it's that there is concern. And I know, Kevin, as you know, I spend a lot of time with the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, mm-hmm. fundraising and things like that. And so I know a lot of people who are currently and have formerly been on the job. And you do hear grumblings of guys, especially that are just coming off the job, about how, boy, I don't want to be on this job anymore because it's so hard out there because nobody supports us. There is certainly a sense I think you hear of the men and women. Not this is just kind of, this might be bar talk or idle talk. This is not when they're sitting in their cars going somewhere or out on the street, you know, handling something. Because I, you know, you see them doing their job. I see them doing their job. You know, the men and women of the Chicago Police Department every day. But there does seem to be this permeating attitude that they do not feel the support, whether it's from the Cook County State's Attorney's Office or whether it is from maybe City Hall, even predating Lori Lightfoot, about what to actually do in handling especially the large crowd situations downtown and other situations that they are now dealing with, where people are saying, I don't have to stop. I don't have to listen to you.
Well, certainly there is a problem out there, both with the state's attorney's office not doing her job and seeking high bonds, keeping people in jail, prosecuting people, dropping charges on them. That is certainly one problem. Certainly we've also had a distinct problem in the city of not backing up the police. There seems to be this notion that there's a number of politicians who are not supporting the Chicago police because of, you know, various things. They've gone out and they've sought a consent decree, which is unnecessary. They're seeking additional police oversight. They put body cameras on every police officer working in patrol. I could go on and on about how the oversight of the police department, it seems like you can't even go to the bathroom without the boss following you in there. And that's basically what our problem is with the body cameras. So we certainly are looking for some support both from the public and from the politicians because this is an extremely hard job. Our members put their lives on the line every single day. And I think that many of the people in the city of Chicago realize that. Many of them support us. But those who don't need to get on board. We want to make sure that we solve the crime problem in the city. And we want to make sure that people can walk around and are safe.
Yeah. Do you agree, Kevin, with the plan the mayor put into effect that Memorial Day weekend, knowing that she had just taken on the job, but it was the flood the zone approach where you add these 1,200 officers to try to be in every neighborhood, try to have eyes everywhere? Is that a good approach?
Well, you know, it does. When you have more police officers, you have more eyes on the street. Certainly it does help the crime problem. But then we go down to Springfield, and that very same week, we had legislators telling us that they feel that the Chicago police are over-policing in certain neighborhoods of color. And so you can't have a mayor that's saying one message, state legislators that are giving us another message, and then surprised when we're not getting the support that we need. So everybody needs to be on the same page. Right. And I think certainly the mayor can help that by setting out a plan and getting everybody on board. But we have set up about a half a dozen meetings. She's canceled the last five, and I have not met with her since she became mayor.
She's still meeting with the police department, Eddie Johnson, right?
Oh, sure.
But not the union for the
contract. Right. Well, because the union, again, this is the contract that, you know, that is of great concern.
Right.
And whenever we end up in these kind of contract year situations or now post-contract year situations, you know, obviously it starts to seem, it gets positioned. Certainly by the mayor's office, whomever the mayor happens to be. Oh, this is just them looking for a better contract. And that is one of the issues, because this city, the structural realities and the crime realities of the city have not really evolved in decades. Right. I mean, this is a tough city. There has always been shootings. There used to be even more shootings than there are today. People talk about, mm-hmm. Oh, how terrible it is. But, you know, there were years where we had 700 people shot dead in this city. Right. So
But there's a lot to be taken into account. We do have more people shot. Many people are surviving because of the hard work of the Chicago Fire Department and our paramedics.
I don't want to take that away from them, and also the new technology for all of that. Yes,
sure.
There's no question about that. But we are having, but the structure is what the structure is, and mm-hmm. we need to address that structure, and we need to address There has to be a different way. It's not just, this isn't like, oh, the police aren't doing their job. Because the minute you start doing your job, people go, oh, you're over-policing. So then there's no win there. The problem is we have to have a really honest conversation about what is happening in the crime-ridden neighborhoods, right? 80% of the murders happen on 8% of the blocks in Chicago. And that has to be addressed. And so the only way to get your arms around that is to, you know, to have honest conversations, and the police can be a part of that conversation in terms of, well, here's our ideas. But other this flood the zone strategy for Memorial Day, that is not exactly groundbreaking and new, right?
Well, certainly I have some plans, some strategic ideas that have not been used before, that have been used other places. I am lucky enough to communicate with other leaders from around the country in law enforcement. And so certainly I want to bring those to the table, and I want to discuss those with the mayor and the superintendent. And I do believe we can try and curb the violence, but it's a systemic problem that has gone on for a long time, right, and it's not going to be cured overnight.
So I'm trying to say, and you said it better than I, anything you want to share? Any idea that you want to throw on the table?
I will tell you this: I would never use crime and the sadness that brings to many families who are victims of crime to get a better contract. Our members have gone 2 years without a contract, and it's about time that they sat down and got one ironed out. Okay, yeah, that right. I will say.
Okay,
and I can't tell you how proud I am of the hard work of the men and women of the Chicago Police Department, because they do an amazing job every day.
All right. Well, thank you. I agree with you, and I know this is it's a tough job for these guys. I hope that, you know, some of these ideas that people have are floated, because it is a time to put new strategies in place here. And as you point out, it's systemic. There are strategies that need to be put in place. Also, resources need to be put in place that are not just dealing with the aftermath of the crime, but predictive things and trying to get involved and trying to break up the mindset, if you will, you know, sort of crack that mindset in neighborhoods where there's just only one way out, and that is the perception is we have to behave in this economy or in this way or in this world in order to survive. And that's not something the police department can actually fix. They just have to contain, right? I mean, that's what the job is. It's very,
well, certainly we're there to enforce laws. And, you know, and I talked about Kim Fox earlier. I said, you know, look, our prosecutors need to prosecute and keep people in jail. However, there is a broader picture that we need to look at and make sure that we do not have repeat offenders. And there's a number of things that the city and the state and the police department can do to change that.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Kevin.
Thank you very much.
President of the Fraternal Order of Police. All right.
I hope they're all successful. It is
when you stop and you look at the crime numbers in New York, you look at them in LA, you look at them.
I know it.
It's just a totally different deal.
It is.
Why are we here in this beautiful, bright, shiny, industrious, wealthy metropolitan area?
Right.
You know, that
so
has
much to offer.
Envy of the world in a lot of ways. Right. One of the top cities in the world. Why do we have these numbers that these other densely populated cities do not? I mean,
it's just true.
It's crazy
and not acceptable. Right.
Nope.